Greetings, Earthlings, and welcome to another episode of the Dagobah Dispatch, where the menu reads Star Wars, and more Star Wars. Maybe with some jalapeno poppers as well as an appetizer. But the point is, lots of Star Wars. And that's not all this week. We've got a big guest and a big announcement. It's an episode you do not want to miss, and you're not missing it, because here you are. And here we are! I am Dalton Ross, joined as always by the effervescent Devin Kogan. What's going on, Devin?
Effervescent. That's a new one.
You like that?
I'll take that. I'm gonna make business cards that say effervescent.
Well, you mentioned you were in like a sweaty conference room because you couldn't get into your podcasting studio out there. So maybe some effervescence is just what that conference room needs right now.
Yeah, I'm sitting in a conference room in the EW office, and it's a little warm. So it's a little warm. So we might see some beads of sweat start to drip down my face.
Well, you know, they kept threatening that they were going to turn this into a video podcast. That's never happened. So I don't know. It's like every week, saying like, you better get ready. Like, it's like next week you might be on camera. And it's like, never happened. Thank God. Thank God. Like I was already in my mind thinking of all the ways to like sabotage that happening. Never had to do it.
They took one look at us and they were like, they don't need to do that.
Yep.
They've got faces for radio.
That's exactly right. All right. Look, usually we kick off the show by doing a little house cleaning, but not this week because we have other stuff to get to. We have two big announcements to make. The first one is that we are just pleased as punch this week to welcome back our original co-host and the world's foremost Rise of Skywalker fan, Laura Morgan, back to the show. What's going on, Laura?
Yay! Hello there. Hello there, everyone. It's great to be back. I've missed you. I haven't been on in a while, I don't think.
No.
So, it's been a while.
Hey, you left us, Lauren.
I know. It's true. I know. But, you know, now I got nothing to do. So there we go. So,
what's it been like listening to the podcast just as a listener and not a host over the past few months? Are you like shaking your fist at me and screaming?
When you interviewed Lando Calrissian, I was very mad. I was like, God damn it. But, yeah. You know, so when Clark was on a couple weeks ago, when I was listening to that one, and I was like, Clark, like, I just thought it was funny that you had Clark on, because I remember that time we were doing the ranking of the Star Wars characters, and he busted into the conference room and was like, I can't remember what he said, but he's like, why the hell are you talking about this?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I just thought, and then, you know, Clark shockingly does not know that much about Star Wars. He knows a lot about everything else, but Star Wars, not so much.
Yeah, that was super fun. Like 2 weeks ago, you can listen to basically our former colleague now, Clark Collis, came on and we gave him a Star Wars quiz and had a lot of fun with that.
It was so pretty great.
Worth checking out. All right. Well, Lauren, you know, she left us for greener pastures that then sort of made like Alderaan and got blown to bit by the Death Star.
Yeah, they weren't that green, you know. I'm just now one of those like Alderaanian citizens just, you know, hanging out in, you know, a cantina somewhere wondering what to do.
So, you're a refugee.
I'm a refugee. Yeah, that's basically what I am.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we wanted to have Lauren back. Well, I mean, we want to have her back because it's been way too long and we were going to have her back anyway. But there is another reason we wanted Lauren back on the show this week. And that is because we have another big announcement to make. And just a warning, this is not the best news, which I suppose is an understatement. This is not an announcement we wanted to make, but here we are. Unfortunately, this will be the last episode of the Dagobah Dispatch, at least for a while. I want everyone to know that this is beyond our control. We have done this as part of our jobs, Devin, Sammy, and myself, and Lauren, before she got wise and left us. But it never felt like work. It's been tons of fun, and we love doing it. But there are factors beyond our control and beyond our pay grade that have brought us to where we are now. And where we are is that resources are being reallocated to the point that we are no longer able, at least not at this time, to do the podcast for you. Maybe that'll change. There are potential factors that could potentially bring us back at some point. So if you subscribe to the podcast, which we hope you do, then keep us on your feed and maybe a new episode will pop up. That's happened before here. There was another Star Wars podcast that we then took over. So, you know, you can keep that hope flickering, but I can't tell you if and when that may happen. So for now, we have to say that this is it. We'll have some official teary goodbyes a little bit later. And we do have a lot to get to this week. We got a fun show, last show for you. But just want to let you guys know that off the bat. And anything you want to say now, Devin, before we get into our very special episode of the Dagobah Dispatch?
Very special episode. No, yeah, just that doing – we'll get into this a little bit more later. But doing the show with both of you guys and with Sammy has been such a joy. And specifically getting to hear from all of the listeners, like just this week, I was getting great messages all over on Twitter and Instagram and just people listening to the show and reacting. And that has been the biggest joy. It's just getting to geek out about Star Wars with you guys. And you can still geek out about Star Wars with us. We're all on social media and we want to hear your opinions. I mean, we're all really sad, but I know we've still got lots of Star Wars coverage and lots of Star Wars opinions that we'll still be sharing.
Yeah. And I just want to say it has nothing to do. I mean, like the podcast was doing great. It was growing. It was doing really well. And everyone was happy with the way it was going. It's just, you know, work at a big company and sometimes there's shifts and things that happen that affect other things and is affecting us, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, you know, it's really crazy. This is, I think if Sammy's sort of calendar message is correct, that this is episode 91.
Wow.
Of our podcast. And I think episode 101, if you include the other Star Wars pod. What if they just get rid of us and they rehire James Hibbert and Darren Franich and they start taking over our Star Wars podcast that we took over from them? Maybe that'll happen. But listen, in our 91 episodes, we've had just an insane amount of incredible interviews with, you know, stars from the original trilogy, the prequel trilogy, like sequel, the all the Star Wars shows. Like, I mean, just it's just insane. No Star Wars podcast in the world over the past 2 years has had more Star Wars talent than we have. And we also had tons of fun segments that we did of debating and discussing. So I thought what we could do here is, and maybe this will help people that haven't listened to every episode, because the feed's there. We may not be coming every week, but there's 91 episodes you can go back and listen to, and we've had tons of fun doing it. So I thought we could each sort of pick out the one interview maybe that above all really stands out to each of us, and then maybe a favorite segment we did along the way as well. So I'll kick it off. We'll talk about our favorite interviews first, because this is the one I feel sort of weird picking the first interview we ever did, because it makes it seem like it was all downhill after that, which was not the case. But I just thought, what a great way to kick off our podcast, which was with Ewan McGregor. And there are many reasons why that was a great way to start it off. For one thing, he's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I was going to say, do you think it was a good way to say hello there?
Oh, yes, it was. I mean, it was right before Obi-Wan Kenobi, the series was starting, and we had him on. And I think you all know that, like, I've got a huge man crush on Ewan McGregor, too. Like,
I
not
mean,
just
doesn't everyone just have a crush?
I was
going to
say,
Ewan
I think
Ewan
everyone
McGregor.
Does.
I mean, he's just everyone's crush. Like,
yeah. And not just, not even really from Star Wars. Like, he's great in Star Wars, of course, as we've talked about ad nauseum. But, like, he is just downright dreamy in Moulin Rouge. Like,
of course
if
he
I
is.
Do say so myself. I mean,
he's just downright dreamy. Like,
I mean, so good. And he played mm-hmm. Iggy Pop, my favorite, like, punk rocker of all time in Velvet Goldmine. I mean, he wasn't called Iggy Pop, but he was Iggy Pop. He was in Down with Love, which is the most underappreciated, great rom-com that everyone should watch, but no one did.
I watched it.
It's so good. And then he's Obi-Wan Kenobi. So we had him on, like, we did a preview pod, like, pretty much exactly 2 years ago, mm-hmm. March of 2022. And then we had him on for our first episode in May of 2022. And we talked all about Obi-Wan's interesting hairstyles. We talked about how he uses the Force when he goes to grocery stores on the automatic doors. And we talked everything about Obi-Wan Kenobi. It was super fun. Let's take a quick listen to part of that interview with Ewan McGregor. Ewan, have you ever tried to use a Jedi mind trick on anyone in real life?
Not really. I mean, I've been accused of doing it here and there by people who are trying to be funny, but I don't think so.
So when you were like trying to get your kids to clean the room, you wouldn't kind of just do like a motion with the fingers?
They don't. I do it with doors. I like to do that with automatic doors just for my own amusement. I always do a little, Jedi move for the doors. And occasionally, I have occasionally been caught doing it. You know, like at the supermarket or something when I'm wheeling my trolley out and I do a little, it's just always for my own, because it makes me laugh, but occasionally I've been caught doing that and that's kind of embarrassing. But my kids are totally impervious to the whole Jedi mind trick. They don't care. It doesn't work on them.
You and every time I go to an automatic door, I do that. Every single time.
It's difficult not to, isn't it? Yeah. It's fun. If you get it right, if the timing is right, it feels very powerful, you know?
All right. So, of course, like I was stoked to talk to you and McGregor and start the pod off that way. What are your guys' thoughts on Ewan, that interview, the man, the legend, the myth, and all of the above?
He is the man, the legend, the myth. He's just a delightful interview. And we had him, I think, a couple times on the show. And I love that interview because, you know, just the joy. I'm really glad that he and Hayden Christensen also kind of got their flowers in the last couple of years and have been able to sort of celebrate their performances in the prequels, celebrate their performances, their returning performances. It's such a fun interview. And he's just a delightful human being.
He's great. Lauren, I know you're an Obi-Wan fan and a Ewan McGregor fan.
Yes, I am. I was an Ewan McGregor fan before he was even Obi-Wan Kenobi, because I am that old. I thought it was such a great get for the first podcast. And I think we do talk about a lot of nonsense. We have talked about a lot of nonsense over the last 2 years. But I think we've also, we've delivered the goods in terms of the interviews. Like we've given people, sort of some in-depth backstory into how Star Wars is made and how the people who are involved in it get how excited they are to be involved in the galaxy far, far away. So I think just the Ewan McGregor interview was a great sort of first sort of step in what was to come.
Yeah, and like not only this is how deep we go, not only do we have Ewan McGregor on, I think 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. We even interviewed his wife, okay? Like, we even had his wife on our podcast multiple times, at least twice, I think, if not three times, maybe. That's how deep we go on this podcast. I guess we could have gotten his daughter, who showed up in Obi-Wan Kenobi series 2. She played that sort of, drug dealer or whatever on that planet. But we didn't go that far, but we did do that. I almost picked Hayden Christensen.
That was a great one too.
Yeah. And so really when we had him on the podcast a few times, but kind of had him on pretty recently, a few months ago, sort of looking back at everything. And it was, that's a good one as well. Easily could have picked Hayden. Would have been good stuff. All right. Devin, what is your favorite interview that you did over the course of this podcast?
Oh man, I had a hard time kind of narrowing this down. I mean, we talked to a lot of really great people, across Mandalorian and Ahsoka and the prequels and just like sort of general Star Wars. But I think for me, the first one that came to mind was I loved getting to sit down with Andy Serkis and talk about Andor, specifically one, his character and that story arc on Andor are so great. That's really the high point of an already fantastic series. And also just Andy Serkis is a delight and just like a nice human being. And I mean, we all know I'm a Lord of the Rings nerd, so obviously was thrilled to get to check that one off my list. He was just, it was so much fun to talk to him about filming all those prison scenes and being barefoot and, that like heartbreaking final line. And that was a really fun one. So that was one of the first ones that came to mind for me.
The environment that we filmed in, that set was amazing, but it was really desensitizing, as I say, and the costumes that we wore, the prison outfit was just, and being barefooted on metal plates for weeks and weeks, it really does strange things to your head. And this just lack of any sort of proper personal space, or it's not like a modern day prison cell where, you get to sort of communicate with other prisoners and you know, read library books or, you know, watch a film or, you know, there's nothing. There was nothing, no creature comforts, no, nothing at all. And so being on that set day in, day out really did things to your head, actually.
That was one of the things I wanted to ask you about. You know, the practical sets on the show are so impressive and beautiful. I mean, like, what was your reaction the first time you stepped on the set and saw, you know, all these little details, like the bunks and the floors and everything?
Yeah, no, it was beautifully designed. I mean, the design work was incredible, and especially the factory floor and, you know, the way that all of those mechanisms that worked for real, and the whole way that the parts that are being constructed, you know, there was a definite regime that everyone had to learn. And it was a really complicated sort of system. It was mind blowing, really, to be on those sets and see everything working and everything that had been built work. Like I say, with that level of detail and precision, it was beautifully crafted.
I'm cringing because you guys remember my Andy Serkis story, which is just so embarrassing. For those that missed that, it's so terrible. I'm literally just dying inside right now.
At an EW party.
Oh my god, it's so awful. Well, like I said, I thought it was him. And then he was just...
And he still blew him off.
He was so nice and he was so friendly and just like, then I was like, oh, this can't be him. So then I was like, see a sucker, like see a guy who looks like Andy Serkis, but isn't really Andy Serkis. I'm going to talk to someone important. That wasn't it. But like, I thought it wasn't him. So I just got out of it. It was so embarrassing. He is great. And I know for Devin how special that was, getting to check off two boxes there with both Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, and so much other. And he is, I mean, he's just the nicest guy and he's so good. And like the thing about Andor, that's so interesting, because I think we were all kind of on the same page where like, there were a lot of people that loved Andor right off the bat. The three of us were not in that camp.
No, we thought
there were some pacing problems in the first three. The flashbacks for us weren't really working that great. It just moved a little too slowly. So I think, again, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I'm a man, so that's what I'll do. but the first three we were crazy about. 4, 5, 6, like, okay, all right, we're getting somewhere. We got the heist. We like that. And then 7, 8, that prison arc was like, oh my God, that was awesome. And he was a huge part of that.
Yeah, that has been one of the – Andor's was one of the fun discoveries for me, because, you know, we watched the first couple episodes and like we said, a lot of the flashback, a lot of the child stuff didn't really work for me. And I was like, it's fine. And I mean, great performances from Diego Luna and Genevieve O'Reilly. But, you know, and then it really got cooking and I was like, oh, this is actually fantastic. And it stuck the landing too, which is – hard to do. So and it's gone to being hands down my favorite of the live action Star Wars projects, Star Wars Disney Plus shows. And so it's super, super delightful. And we've got a lot of really great Andor coverage. We've talked to pretty much everyone. One of the other interviews that I was thinking about was I got to do one of the only interviews with Stellan Skarsgård, which was really fun to get to talk to him. Just because he did not talk about that show very much. And he is so good, on Andor. So, yeah.
Lauren, where do you stand now on live action ranking, just in terms of your number one? I can't remember if we asked you this after Ahsoka or not, because you're Lauren Morgan, just like hugest Ahsoka fan.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the show delivered in some respects, maybe not in all respects.
Yeah, I don't know if I've really ranked the entire thing. Like, I think you
tried to be like first two seasons of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that.
No. I don't think I've sort of re-ranked them all since Ahsoka came out. And there's so much stuff in Ahsoka that I loved, but there was some stuff where I thought it was a little slow. But the Ezra Bridger stuff I really loved in Ahsoka. And I know that Obi-Wan Kenobi is not, you know, it comes in for a lot of heat on social media, but I honestly really enjoyed Obi-Wan Kenobi. I enjoyed Hayden Christensen. I felt a lot of stuff with that. And then, Andor, as you were saying, like the first three episodes, I was like, oh my God, this is so slow. And I was a little bit taken aback when the reviews came out and everyone's like, this is amazing. And I'm like, did we watch the same thing? And then, as it grew, especially the prison arc and as Stellan Skarsgård you know, that speech he gives about like my head is a sunless space and all that sort of stuff. I rewatch that speech all the time. That's now one of my favorite Star Wars scenes. But I don't know if I've like, I don't think I could really right now off the bat because it's like just rank them because there's so many parts of them that I like. And it's like, I didn't really like the last season of The Mandalorian, but I really liked season three. Very curious how they're going to do it in a movie. You know, there was parts of Obi-Wan Kenobi I really liked. And then, you know, there's parts of Ahsoka I really liked. So it's kind of like, and for me, it's like, it's all kind of like, they're all telling one big story. So it's just like different parts of it, you know? So it kind of always sort of blends in together for me.
Yeah, I had, last time we did this, I had Obi-Wan as my number one, just for what you said, Lauren, just like it's kind of like the Last Jedi sort of model where it's like the highs were just so high. Like just, I'm sorry, I'm a fanboy in that way. Yeah. You have Obi-Wan, you have Darth Vader and Obi-Wan battling again.
Yeah, these are like the two key characters.
Yeah.
And it's just like your emotional investment in them is like,
correct,
is just amazing. And then also the Shadow Warrior episode of Ahsoka, that was so phenomenal just to see Anakin and Ahsoka during the Clone Wars period, and they gave Hayden such great stuff to work with there, and I just thought that that episode was just, I thought, phenomenal. And that's where I thought, you know, Ahsoka really was starting to sort of gel together, because I thought the first three episodes I didn't really feel like, or the first couple of episodes didn't think it was really gelling, but like once you saw Ahsoka and Anakin together, that sort of like made Rosario Dawson's her portrayal of Ahsoka start to make more sense to me, in terms of like, this is just an Ahsoka who has been through so much, and she's not, of course, she's not her teenage self and that kind of stuff. So,
agreed. Yeah. All right, so Lauren, what was, you know, you haven't been with us for a while.
Yeah,
doing interviews.
I haven't.
What was your favorite interview you did?
Well, the interesting thing is, like, I really didn't start doing interviews until a couple of years ago. As I've mentioned before, most of my career has been either as a photo editor or a video person or video producer and stuff like that. So I honestly really didn't start doing interviews till like 2001, 2022. And so, I mean, I don't have as many interviews as you do too. And I'm still sort of improving my interview skills. But for me, as we all know, and as you mentioned many times, I am a huge fan of all the animated Star Wars shows, the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, all that sort of stuff. So honestly, for me, it was such a gift to be able to get to talk to like Dee Bradley Baker and Ashley and just get to talk to them. And even Katie Sackhoff, even though I was talking to her about The Mandalorian, but I was also talking to her about what she did in the Clone Wars, like getting to talk to them and being able to like ask questions, like not only like in a, you know, in reporting a story capacity, but just as a fan and, you know, getting to talk to them. And I don't know if I could pick between those three, but it was just really great to get to talk to the people behind a lot of the animated stuff.
Well, pick one of them so Sammy can play a clip, damn it. I mean, you can't just throw that all out there. Then Sammy's going to be like, who's this?
No, yeah. Well, okay. I'll say as personally, Ashley's goodbye to me on my last official episode. That's still like just like the surprise when you guys did that. I don't know if that's an official interview, but that's my favorite part of it. So.
Hi, Lauren. This is Ashley Eckstein. And I just wanted to say this is a new day. A new beginning. And I'm so excited for you for your new job and this new beginning. It's so clear that Ahsoka lives in you. Thank you so much for carrying on her light and her legacy. We've enjoyed listening to you at the Dagobah Dispatch, and you will be missed. Everyone will miss you, but we're all so, so excited for you. So I hope our paths cross again soon, but until they do, I just wanted to say, may the Force be with you.
I'm so glad that came through. Lauren, when Lauren awesome. Just did decide to leave us, reached out to try and see if we get Ashley Ahsoka herself to give her a goodbye message. And she came through. Mm-hmm. She came through, and that was really sweet and nice.
I will say I also really loved your Dee Bradley Baker interview, because I just spoke to him for Bad Batch season 3, and I went back and I listened to yours, and I was like, it's so good. And
I know. I mean, he's just amazing. And if people – I know there's a lot of Star Wars fans who haven't watched that, you know, the Clone Wars, because it is a lot of television. But Dee Bradley Baker is so goddamn talented you realize how many characters he plays, and especially on The Bad Batch, when it's basically just like him and Michelle basically voicing the entire thing. He is so enormously talented. So getting to talk to him, and also his super cool recording booth with all the crazy lights in it. You know, seeing that too, that was that, you know, that was just a really great moment. So
he may be the one Star Wars person or any person mm-hmm. on the planet that the three of us have each individually interviewed.
Yeah, I think so.
I can't think if there's another one. I don't think mine were ever on the podcast. I think season one, Bad Batch, I interviewed him before the podcast came out. So I don't know if there's others that we each individually interviewed. I know Dev and I have cross-pollinated a lot, and then Lauren's cross-pollinated a little bit with each of us.
Yeah.
But he may be the only one.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Well, I mean, it's fitting because he plays like 9 billion roles in the Star Wars universe. There's a lot to talk about.
But good. But I mean, it's like I got to talk to the production designers and the costume designers in Andor, and that was amazing. I got to talk to Tony Gilroy, and just talking to them about just the production stuff. Like, I love production stuff. So just talking to them about that kind of stuff, that was amazing as a Star Wars fan. So I was always really grateful for that. I know I'm not really answering any of your questions because I'm dodging the questions.
That's Lauren Morgan for you. She's back, everyone. She's back.
I'll dodge every question you give me.
She's back. Not for long, but she's
one night only.
That's right. She's not here all week, ladies and gentlemen. All right, listen. We've had tons of interviews. Like I said, no podcast has had more Star Wars interviews with on-screen and behind-screen talent than we have over the past 2 years. So go check out our archives. It's all there, and listen to it all. We've also had done tons of just, you know, segments of debating, discussing, listing, sharing thoughts, getting into the news, this, that. So I
thought aggravating each other.
Yes, a little bit of that, a side dish of aggravation. So that we could each talk about, one of our favorite segments. For me, this is, I guess, a surprising, but I love hitting those just weird nooks and crannies of the Star Wars universe. Yes, of course, we debated the top 100 characters, and we, you know, did weekly deep dives on the TV shows, and we talked about the best lightsaber battles and all these things, and I loved every second of it. But when you're spending like over an hour talking about Caravan of Courage, I should amend that. When you do two different episodes talking about the two Ewok movies that appeared on network television back in back in the day. I mean, that's something. And it was, I either didn't watch these when they were on, or I just had the memories like removed from my brain. And so when I sat down, I'm going to talk about our show. If you want to go listen to the full episode, it's the one from August 11th, 2022. And it was, I sat down to watch Caravan of Courage, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Like, it was so bad. Like, I'd seen the holiday special a million times, knew how bad that was, but this hadn't been like disowned like that. In fact, it's on Disney Plus. It came out on DVD and VHS and all those things, you know, maybe not DVD, but it's like it came out on home video, and it was so bad. You had this like really unlikable teenage character, and
you hated this kid.
Yeah,
you hated him.
Go back and listen. Go ahead. Sammy, play a clip of me just ripping this poor kid, this poor actor, Eric Walker. I just went to town on this guy. Take a listen. My biggest problem with the Caravan of Courage, and that's saying something, is that the lead character, this kid Mace, is just a total jerky McJerk face. He comes in, he starts blasting at the Ewoks when they're helping his sister. He then, like, all the Ewoks are like, going to risk their lives to, like, try and find this insufferable kid's parents. And he's all pissed that he didn't get a great totem, like they got totems. He never thanks them for giving them food and medicine. Instead, he just demands more medicine. He like they give him this rock. It's a magic. He throws it down. It's a stupid rock. Like, I get, you know, teenagers are teenagers, and I feel terrible saying this, but like, I wanted to murder him for every single second that I watched this movie. I hated him so much, and I got so angry. All right, so yeah, that kid who sucks. The Ewoks are speaking English. The special effects don't look any good. There's like
they have just like straight up normal animals, yeah, like really a llama and like cows.
Yes, there's farm animals walking around. There's lots of magic happening.
Yeah, too, it was just really like a puzzling. It was just really kind of Lucasfilm. Or I don't even know what exactly the I can't remember the whole entire production history of it, but it was really like, huh, you guys, this is really like, I think they just expected it to air like one time and then it would never be seen again. But you know, of course the magic of recording foiled that plan for them, but it was just really, it is the first one. And there's the difference between the Caravan of Courage and the Battle for Endor, because the Battle of Endor, at least it looks like they were more engaged with that one. And Battle for Endor is the one I remember seeing a lot as a kid. Like, I didn't remember seeing Caravan of Courage, but Battle of Endor I saw a lot as a kid. And that was kind of a blast from a past to revisit that as an adult.
Battle for Endor, though, is dark because, like, mm-hmm. all of Sindel's family is just dies immediately.
And also, the Ewoks are speaking English now.
Full sentences.
Full sentences. You know, yeah.
Wilford Brimley's there. It's just, it's an adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are weird movies, man. I mean, they're really weird. But like,
the thing is, that's all that we had in the 80s. Like, that's like when people complain about the Disney Plus shows. And I'm like, do you realize what we had as children in the 80s? We only had the Ewok movies. You're spoiled for choice right now, you brats.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's what I was talking about like last week, how like just how I bought again Dark Forces, the new remastered version. Because in 1995, mm-hmm. that was like, all the Star Wars content we got was like this video game, Dark Forces, and you were just so stoked. And so, I mean, the Ewok movies are bad. They're really bad. But they're entertainingly bad. They're just so charmingly bonkers. Bad. Like the magic, they're mm-hmm. like, they know magic now. And sure. They fly now. And I know how your husband feels about magic in the Star Wars universe, Lauren.
Still against it, man. Yes. He was sad he could not make one last appearance on the podcast, because I know he's been calling in and leaving messages. So he wished us all good luck.
Will either of you ever watch either of those Ewok movies again?
I probably will with my sister. I'd watch Battle for Endor with my sister. Like, my sister was watching the holiday special like back in like December. She made her children watch it. And they were like, what is this? No, I could definitely see watching Battle for Endor when I'm hanging around with my sister. So, yeah.
I was going to say, if I watch these again, I don't think I will be sober. I think this would be fun to maybe open a bottle of wine and watch this mm-hmm. with some friends.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
But yeah, these are ridiculous, ridiculous movies. But they're there on Disney Plus.
They're there. Smoke them
until
if you got
someone
them.
Decides to take them off Disney Plus.
That's true.
But they're there for now.
Yeah. All right, Devin, what's your sort of favorite sort of segment, debate, or discussion we did here on the pod?
Well, I was thinking about this, and I mean, you can't do a Star Wars podcast without talking about the holiday special, and that was a really fun episode. But for me, my favorite was when we talked about the holiday album, which is something that I didn't even really know existed, but is this absolutely insane 1980 album that came out that's all like Christmas songs, like sung by R2-D2 and C-3PO. And that was a really, really fun episode. And that's how I discovered that's how John Bon Jovi made his debut, was singing on R2-D2, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And not gonna lie, this album, most of it is really bad, but there's a couple bops in there. There's a couple really great songs. I mean, shout out to What Can You Get a Wookiee for Christmas When He Already Owns a Comb? One of the greatest song titles of all time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a lot of fun recording that one.
You know, you said something to me during the recording of that episode that I realized was true just for my entire life. Because when you were asking me something about the lyrics, and I was like, I don't listen to the lyrics. And you're like, oh, you're just kind of a vibe-based person for music. And I was like, yeah, I really am. I never listen to lyrics. Like, if someone could ask, what is this song about? I'm like, I have no idea. I just like the melody. Who cares? You know,
just vibes.
Yeah, pretty much. Just vibes. So,
I mean... The album poses so many questions, mm-hmm. you know, like
it really does.
How do they celebrate Christmas in another galaxy?
Is there Christ in another galaxy?
Yeah. Like,
how does C-3PO know who, like, Einstein and Jesus are? I have so many questions. What's a hover skate? It's all about S-Claws, not Santa Claus.
Yeah,
S-Claws.
But
yeah, if you haven't listened to the Star Wars Holiday album, I highly recommend go listen to it and then go listen to our podcast talking about it. I know we are releasing this in March, but you know, it's never too early to get into the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, Sammy, give them a little taste of our discussion from that podcast.
As far as Bon Jovi, here's some of the story on that. Tony Bon Jovi says, when I started working with my cousin, John, I started working with CBS Records at the time, and I couldn't get him a deal. I tried to do everything I could to get him out here. I knew that the record was going to come out. I knew that it was going to sell, so he sang on it. If you have a hit, then you can turn around and say, hey, this album's a hit. Let's turn around and sign him. But nobody wanted to sign John. It was a big uphill battle. I put him on that, a Budweiser commercial, anything I could do. But that's how he ended up on that track. If this album hits big and you're the lead singer, then I can do a record with you, is what it's thinking. It took me a long time. I couldn't get him signed. A few years later, a radio station had a band contest. And I said, okay, let's try that. And the rest is history. So they thought this would be his big break.
You know, that's usually the rock star pipeline is you make a Star Wars Holiday album and then you get your big break.
All right, maybe Sammy should not have given them the taste. Now they're like, now I'm never going to listen. Why would I go listen to more of that? Like, that's just crazy. Lauren, what about you? What's a segment you remember doing on the pod, having fun with?
The segment I think I'm probably most well known for is my unhinged rant against the Rise of Skywalker, which after we recorded it, my husband and we finished, my husband came in. He's like, are you all right? Because you were really yelling. And I was just like, no, I'm fine now. And but there was a point when I was talking about how dumb I thought the Knights of Ren were. And I just finished my rant and Dalton quietly went, Jesus, into the microphone. And literally my husband has been imitating Dalton for like the last like 2 years since that happened. Like anytime I'm just on a rant and I get ranty, he'll just go, Jesus, just like Dalton. And then there's also the wacky versus crazy sweater debate, which was not so much about Star Wars, just about completely about, I don't remember exactly what I say when I say things. And, you know, and so that was just a personal one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let me address both of those. Yeah. Let's take those one at a time. Uh-huh. First off, I love that Lauren's like, oh, my favorite segment was when I went on a rant against the Rise of Skywalker. How is Sammy supposed to pull a clip of that? That's every episode.
No, just needs to pull your Jesus. Like, that, to it was the specific, I think when, was it Jess came on to defend it? And I was like, I'm going to be cool. I'm going to be cool. And then I just totally lost my cool. I did enjoy that whole section and him taking on the Knights of Ren, who are rightly killed because they were always stupid and have remained stupid and will never not be stupid. I was just glad to see him slaughter them all as they deserved.
Like Devin mentioned, I mean, Jesus, the little nods, the little nods to Han Solo that you could just tell, like, oh, that is Han Solo's son through and through. I appreciated it and I really enjoyed that.
And the funny thing was, I was completely unhinged on that one. And then about a half an hour later, I had to record a West of Westeros podcast, and I sounded totally calm on that one. So I recorded them on the same day, and I sound like completely normal on one.
Yeah, because Nick Romano did not stir the pot like I did. That was all me. I was like, and Lauren was being really mellow. I was like, God, why? How am I going to get her fired up? So I kind of was like poking the bear throughout that discussion.
I was
going
to say, Dalton likes to kick the hornet's nest. He likes to, he watches too much reality television. You would be a great reality TV producer.
Yeah. I'll get to it. It was fun and watching Lauren just go off on that film every other week at the very least. And then the sweater thing is like don't mess with me, Morgan. Okay. Like I knew the wording of that we used for the sweater.
I can remember like weirdo facts and stuff like that, but if you ask me what I just said 10 minutes ago, I'm like, I have no idea. Like things just come out of I have no idea the order of words. Like my husband can literally remember dialogue. The first time he heard it, like the pretzel speech and the pretzel day speech in The Office, he heard it once and he can still recite it. I am completely not like that. I have no idea what, like, you know, what I say and what exactly I say. said, because my husband's like, what did you just say? I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah,
you know,
the best part about this, but Lauren didn't say any of this. She argued passionately.
No, I was like, no, I didn't.
And only after being caught, like with her hands in the cookie jar, did she admit that she had a sweet tooth. Like, that's essentially what happened.
I'm sure my sister, when she heard that, was like, finally, someone called her on it. Because I also do this to my sister all the time. I'm like, I didn't say that. She's like, yes, you did. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And so I'm a delight to argue with, basically.
Yeah.
I just generally like ugly sweaters. Like, I wear wild sweaters through, like, that's my thing. Like, I will probably wear a very wild sweater into the office tomorrow. But yeah, I just like wild sweaters. They don't even have to be ugly Christmas sweaters. But if it's like a completely wild pattern, I'm like, that's my sweater. I'm getting it.
Now, how wild is wild, Lauren? What are you talking about here?
It's pretty, I mean.
So you're going to wear it tomorrow. I'll see you in the sweater tomorrow. I can
I'll wear one of my new more wild sweaters tomorrow. So.
All right, I'm going to take a picture of Lauren Morgan in her quote unquote wild sweater.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They're usually always striped. I mean, they look like a toddler would wear them.
What if I wear a wild sweater too?
Okay. Oh, we both just wear wild sweaters.
I'm going to wear a wild sweater. Yeah. We're having a sweater off. Okay, we're having sweater off.
I'll wear a sweater tomorrow and send you guys a picture from the, even though I'm in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's
and
80 degrees. Sweating in her sweater. There is a huge argument in the world of Dagobah Dispatch last week that you were not privy to. Massive, massive scandal. Huge controversy happening. And I'm going to draw everyone's attention. This is where it started on the podcast last week, if you missed last week's episode. And Lauren Morgan started bragging about her sweater, that she was going to wear a sweater.
I know that was bragging.
It's a little braggy that she was going to wear a sweater to the office. And I said, okay, I'll also wear a sweater and we'll have like a sweater off. But I thought I matched her pretty well. So I pulled the Entertainment Weekly staff around us and I say, all right, we're having a little bit of a competition. Who has the wildest sweater? And Lauren goes, no. It's not wildest sweater. It's craziest sweater. And I say, what are you talking about? It's wildest sweater. She goes, I very specifically said crazy. I'm going to wear a crazy sweater. I'm like, you said wild sweater. And she said, I said crazy. I say, Lauren, I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. I can't remember if I'm in the shower, whether I soaked myself up yet or not. That happens literally every time. But I know one thing. And you said wild, and it is just erupted into this huge, like, people were throwing staplers. It was crazy.
Wow.
I just like wild sweaters. If it's like a completely wild pattern, I'm like, I wear wild sweaters. I will probably wear a very wild sweater into the office tomorrow. Wild, 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 very wild.
That's why this podcast was so fun, right? Like, that's why it wasn't just talking about Star Wars. It was hanging out with you all. Every week, and sharing our opinions and getting some news and talking to people that make the show is all great, but it was also just getting to hang out with you all every week, and you know that's what we're gonna miss doing. And I just want to say a few words here before we go off into the ether. I went to the powers that be a few years ago and I floated the idea of starting a weekly Star Wars podcast, and I somehow convinced them against their better judgment to let us do one. I knew Devin and Lauren would be the perfect people to do it with because they were equally nerdy and equally obsessed. And against their better judgment, they said yes to doing it. And we've had so much fun just discussing, debating every weird, bizarre corner of the Star Wars galaxy. And it's been the best part of my week nerding out with them. And we have this bond that sort of extends, past this podcast into way too many text messages. So I just want to say thank you, ladies, for being just so awesome every day in every way. It's been so great doing this with you all before Lauren didn't want to do it with us anymore. I also want to give...
There were other issues way above my pay grade. Mm-hmm.
I think your pay grade changed when you left us. I also
and now it changed again, too. So
I also want to give a shout out to the secret weapon of the Dagobah Dispatch, Sammy Junio. Sammy has been the one that makes us sound good. Like, literally, they checked our levels. Mm-hmm. They edited out all our embarrassing parts, unless it was Lauren being embarrassing, in which case I made Sammy leave it in. They added in all the goofy sound effects and clips. They even came up with visual slides for quizzes that nobody but us could even see because we did an audio podcast. That's how amazing Sammy is. Sammy has truly been the Hillbilly Jim of our podcast. And because Hillbilly Jim is the name of my favorite 1980s professional wrestler, they know how much that means for me to say that. So thank you so much, Sammy, for everything. I also just want to thank everyone who took the time to listen to this damn thing. We try to bring you tons of interviews with big Star Wars celebrities and other writers and directors and other behind the scenes talents, and, you know, mix that in with some really fun segments where we discussed and debated, you know, often seemingly, I guess, ridiculous things. And we really appreciate you all hanging out with us through it all. It really means a lot. Like I said, recording this podcast has been the best part of our week, and we hope listening to it has made your week just a little bit better. Devin, I'm sure you have some thoughts you want to share as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to echo absolutely everything Dalton said. I mean, getting to hang out and talk Star Wars with you guys every week is something that is kind of the best job in the world. And it's been such a joy. And apologies in advance for continuing to send you every Star Wars meme that comes across that I see. That's pretty much what our group chat exists, is just to send each other, like, I don't know, Jabba memes or whatever. And yeah, just shout out to Sammy Junio for being such a rock star and putting up with all of our stupid requests and being like, hey, we need you to pull this ridiculous clip from the Donnie and Marie Star Wars special. And they always did. They always pulled the perfect clip. And yeah, and thank you all so much to you guys for listening and engaging with us and chatting with us on social media and leaving us voicemails. And you know, please continue to do that. We love hearing from you guys about Star Wars. And yeah, I mean, I still get tweets about whether it Yub Nub or Victory Celebration is the proper way to end Return of the Jedi.
Yub Nub.
It's
Yub-nub.
Team Victory Celebration all the way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been such a joy. And we'll still have lots of Star Wars coverage on EW.com, and because we've got a lot of cool projects. There's a lot of cool projects in the works. But I'm going to miss getting on Zoom and online to talk with you guys every week.
Yeah. Lauren, what do you got to say for yourself?
Well, honestly, it was a really big honor for, I remember when you called me about this to talk about it. And I mean, as I've mentioned before, I'm a photo editor and, you know, I would do some writing for EW, but, like, you know, I was just kind of toiling in making my splits, doing my, you know, my normal photo work. But I was writing about, like, The Mandalorian and writing very, very long recaps of it. And so for when you kind of contacted me and asked me to do it, I was like, just so like, I was like, oh, somebody's reading what I'm writing. That's really nice. And getting a chance, it's funny because, like, I've been a Star Wars fan for almost my entire life. And outside of my sister, I haven't really talked about it in depth with other people. So it's just sort of like, so it's been so great to really just talk about all the various different parts of Star Wars that you really rarely ever get to sort of talk about unless you discover another nerd. So this has just been a sort of an amazing experience for me. Leaving the podcast was honestly the hardest part of leaving EW last year. I mean, now there's a lot of other hard parts of leaving UW, but again, that's for another time. But I was enjoying the podcast. The podcast was the thing I was sort of enjoying the most when I left. And it was just really sad that I had to leave. But I was sort of great that you guys kept doing it. And I got to come on to talk about things every once in a while. So I'm really sad that it's ending completely. Because I really did enjoy it, and I'm so proud of it. It's like one of the things I'm proudest of in the last couple of years of my career. And, you know, and I also, because of the podcast, I got to go to Galactic Star Cruiser, and that was really, you know, because Dalton decided he had to be a good dad and couldn't go. So I got a free trip to Disney World out of it, which was
I actually just wanted to give you COVID. So that's why
I did get COVID, but, you know, honestly, I think I'm not sure I got it on the Galactic Star Cruiser. I'm pretty sure I got it either in Space Mountain or the Cosmic Rewind. Yeah. But, you know, as my niece, who also went with me to Galactic Star Cruiser, she's like, it was totally worth it to get COVID to go. Yeah. So
I would have done it for COVID. Well, it's like, I knew Lauren had to be part of it because she's really, really into Star Wars and was really, really into certain things like the animated worlds of Star Wars, which would be great to have on the podcast. I also just felt like I kind of owed it to you, like, considering the number of, like, insane Survivor photo requests I've been sending you for the past decade, just like with like 30, like,
yeah, here's 30 things, and could you make 4-6 splits and this and that. And, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So had to make good on that.
If only everyone was so considerate about
that. I don't know if Sammy Junio, the silent assassin,
Sammy
wants to hit the unmute button and say a few words. Sammy, give the people what they want, Sammy.
Join us, Sammy.
Well, the problem is I'm a big crybaby, so I feel like if anything, I'm gonna have to edit myself crying. But I think, it's happening already. I've been in podcasting for a long time, and maybe I'll do this. Boom. Okay. And
just let everyone know what just happened.
I turned my camera off.
Turned their camera off, so we couldn't see them.
I've been weeping for most of this recording already. Community is what makes podcasts great, and I'm really proud of this show because when we did stuff like when we launched the voicemail stuff or the polls, you showed up right away, and I think that it's just a true testament of your guys's work and your fandom and your passion. It was a real honor to be so silly, and it is important to be silly and passionate, and I feel like that's, you know, that is EW, and Dagobah Dispatch is a perfect example of Entertainment Weekly to me. I'm happy to be a part of it. And it was easy to do all the silly things that he asked me to do because it all made sense.
Literally, Sammy, there's no one we ever would have rather done this with.
You've been
part of the team, and you don't get nowhere near the accolades that you should for everything that you do behind the scenes, and just like being part of, you know, the fun that we had here. And like I said, so much that people don't see or know about when we're slacking each other, goofy stuff and this and that. And you said it so perfectly, Sammy. That's what Entertainment Weekly, I mean, I've been in Entertainment Weekly, spoiler alert, a long time. And what it's about is creating those communities, what you said about, and like, just, you know, being obsessive fandom. That's really what EW has always been at the heart of that. And that's what we've always tried to do. And that's what we try to do on this podcast. And it only works if you have people coming to the dance with you. Mm-hmm. And that's why we appreciate everyone, like Sammy said, just coming to dance with us.
Yeah, it's just such a joy. I mean, getting to hear all the voicemails every week was like such a joy. Because every time, I remember when we launched that and I was like, ooh, what if we don't get any? What if like nobody responds? And like immediately we got like so many, and you know, like every day Sammy would be like, we got another one. Like, and it was just, it was such, so much fun to get to hear from all of you and, you know, get to talk about these things. Because like Lauren said, I mean, I think one of the joys of having a fandom, specifically Star Wars, which spans so many decades, and there's so many different types of Star Wars fans, people who grew up with it, people who went to see the original trilogy in the theaters, people who are coming to it now as with the Disney Plus shows, people who are obsessive over the comics or the animated shows. There's no one singular way to be a Star Wars fan, but we all kind of have this shared language and shared obsession. And it's just, oh God, it's the most fun thing in the world. Like I love Star Wars so much. And the only thing I love more than Star Wars is just getting to talk to other Star Wars fans and geek out about it.
Yeah. This galaxy is immense and there's room for everyone in it. And that's what I've always loved about it is just that, you know, if you're into the books, there's tons of books. If you're into animation, there's so much material in this galaxy that, you know, I think Star Wars is for everyone and there's room for everyone in it. And that's what I always loved about it.
Well said, Lauren. Well said. Well, listen, as we do sort of sign off for the last time here, if you want to make Sammy cry, give us a call. The voicemail line, I guess, is still open, 657-799-1566. But no, seriously, if there's anything you want to say, get off your chest or say hey to us, give us a call there, 657-799-1566. It won't be on the pod, but we will hear it. We will hear it. All right. That is going to do it for us this week and potentially every week. But we have really appreciate you all being here for this journey. While the podcast may be going away, we are not. We still exist. As Devin said, you can reach out and contact us directly on social media. Lauren's at Morglore. Sammy is at @it_your_Sam. Devin is at Devin Kogan, and I'm at Dalton Ross on Twitter/X and at the Dalton Ross on Instagram, because I'm super confusing and can't settle on one handle. Reach out and say hi. Follow us for all the latest EW Star Wars stories, because we'll still have plenty of that. We'll say hi back. Thank you so much, everyone, for everything, and we will not do it all over again next week.
This episode of Dagobah Dispatch Podcast is hosted and produced by Dalton Ross and Devin Kogan. Produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Full episode transcripts are available at EW.com. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.
None of you even said Cap'n Crunch. I mean, Cap'n Crunch.
Dalton, how do you say the name of that cereal?
Well, if you look at the box, like, we all say Captain Crunch, but if you look at the box, doesn't it say Cap'n Crunch?
Yeah, but it's pronounced like
Cap'n. I've never heard anyone ever call it Cap'n Crunch.
I know. So that's why I do it. I call it Cap'n Crunch because look what it's done. Look at all the attention I just got.
Have you confused your children this way? Like, do they go around saying Cap'n Crunch instead of Captain Crunch?
Yeah, maybe.
I just want to say, Sammy, our producer, is losing their mind in the back of this.
Yeah,
They're completely cracking up right now and just being like, why are we talking about cereal on a Star Wars podcast?
They know what's up. It's Cap'n Crunch.
Wild, 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 very wild.